We turn again one more time to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and we read from verse 46. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 46. Well, he had talked to the people. Behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who is my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Amen. Dear congregation, the Lord at this moment is looking around the congregation in heaven and down upon many in this world, and he's viewing his brethren. Now in verse 49 we read, And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. And he looks on those in heaven and his people here upon earth with love in his heart. And we know it as we look at the word of God. He sees us as his brethren. And he's not ashamed to call us brethren, as we see in Hebrews chapter 2. Now, as the Lord looked on the brethren here, particularly we note verse 49, how different they were to the Pharisees and the scribes noted in verse 48. They were against him. They were certainly far different to the demons we considered in this chapter, and also to those who commit blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. How different the Lord's people are to those who commit blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now just briefly turn with me to verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. All manner of sin is forgiven, but this one, it's the unforgivable sin, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And let me just, in this introduction, let me just say firstly, the true believer can never commit this sin. That's plain. We think of the ones the Lord was looking on, the brethren, how different they are to those who do commit this sin. The believer can never commit this sin. We read in Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform. And those words are a great comfort for the believer when they consider what our Lord is saying in verse 31. Secondly, the Lord knows those who commit this sin. In Proverbs 15 verse 3 we read, The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The Lord knew then and the Lord knows now. The Lord knows those that blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. And that brings us to thirdly, considering that this sin is committed when one with an evil, obstinate heart, full of malice, knowingly and willfully rejects the convicting work of the Spirit as never to repent and dismisses the gospel. We have the example of Judas. Oh, he heard the gospel. And yes, he was convicted in a legal way, but he did not know gospel repentance. He turned. He committed the unforgivable sin. When one with such an evil, obstinate heart, full of malice, knowingly and willfully rejects the convicting work of the Spirit as never to repent and rejects the gospel, commits this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. For we consider that the Holy Spirit convicts. And the Holy Spirit seeks to glorify the Lord. What a solemn thing it is. And sadly, I believe I've known certain ones who've committed such a sin. Well, the Lord knows. Well, in contrast, this morning we consider the relatives of Christ. And what a comfort it is, dear child of God. We will never blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. All is well for our soul. Well, we consider the Lord's relatives. Just come with me again to verse 49. And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, "Behold my mother and my brethren." He looks on them as brethren. He stretches forth his hand. What a comfort it is. The Lord looks on you and me, dear child of God, and he sees us as brethren. Brethren he so loves, brethren he so cares for, and brethren he will keep. And are we not thankful for that? Jesus looks on you as a brother or sister, as brethren. Now, upon a certain occasion, whilst Jesus was preaching, he was interrupted by one. The one was the spokesman, for Mark records others. The spokesman is mentioned here. "Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee." Verse 47. Now, so many are gathered to hear Christ that Mary and the brethren could not come right up to him and speak to him. In Luke 8 verse 19 we read, "Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press." There were so many. Well, the Lord was informed that Mary and the brethren were there. But note how he responds in verse 48. "But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" Now it's plain, isn't it, that the Lord was not too pleased. Yes, he had a deep respect for Mary and the brethren, but he was preaching. It's similar, is it not, to Luke chapter 2. You remember when Mary and Joseph found him in the temple when he was 12 years of age. He said to them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" At 12 years of age, he was focused on his Father's business. And so was he here. And so he was not too pleased, though he had a great respect for Mary and his brethren. Well, in response, in verse 48, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." He looks on them, and he looks on certain ones here, and sees us as his brethren. Well, for the remainder of the time, I'd like us to consider, first of all, his spiritual relatives described plainly. His spiritual relatives described plainly. Secondly, his spiritual relatives owned publicly. And then thirdly, his spiritual relatives loved dearly. Described plainly, owned publicly, and loved dearly. First of all, then, from verse 49, his spiritual relatives described plainly. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold my mother and my brethren." He looked on. He knew those that belonged to him. He knew them well. He identifies them, as we will note in a moment. He knew who were his spiritual relatives. There's no question in his mind here. And there's no question. He knows. The believer may suffer doubts. The believer may go through a harassing time from the devil. And they may be greatly shaken, as Asaph was in Psalm 73. But oh, the Lord knows. The Lord knows that they are his. Does the Lord know you all to be his people this morning? Or is there someone here? And you know in your heart the Lord's looking on. And he knows that you don't belong to him. Or that you would believe for we are in the family. Those who have faith in Jesus. Galatians 3, verse 26. Maybe you're outside the family. Maybe you're near, but you're not in. Remember our Lord said to a certain scribe who wisely reasoned within his mind? Mark 12, verse 34. Our Lord said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom, not far. But he wasn't in. It may be you're not far. You're thinking. You're thinking about the gospel. You're recognizing you're a sinner, but you're not in. Oh, that grace would draw you in, that you would flee unto Christ, that you would go to him. He gives you the invitation, come. Oh, that you would go, that you would be in the kingdom. Does the Lord look on you as a child of God, one in his family? Now our Lord gives a description in verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. The relatives of Christ are known for doing the will of God. And we keep it very simple. For no mere man can perfectly obey the will of God. I think of myself. We can't keep the commandments perfectly, can we? Not one of us would be in the family if it meant perfectly obeying God's will. Because we can't do it. We're sinners. But our Lord says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Well, our Lord said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Or we consider Christ as the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. What does it mean to enter into the kingdom of heaven? It means to believe. Oh, have you done the will of God then? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Who's in the kingdom? The kingdom of grace. Who will be in the kingdom of glory? Only those who've come to faith in Jesus Christ. So he looks on his brethren, true believers. Yes, there is the fruit that they have true faith. They're seeking to keep the commandments out of love to Christ. But all focus on this morning. The believer has done the will of God, for they have believed the gospel. They're in the kingdom, and the Lord looks on them as his brethren. That's what the Lord is particularly considering in verse 50. And so the Lord looks down, where he sees faith in the soul. He looks on them as his brethren. Your faith at times may appear small to the Lord, but it's faith there. You may say at times your faith is weak, but faith is there. And he looks on you as a brother or sister. Here's the description then. Well, part of it in verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Well, that leads us now to consider a little further the description. We think first of all of those that do the will of the Father. But our Lord speaks of his relatives as my brother, sister, and mother. And let's look at this in a little detail. First of all, my brother. In the Song of Solomon 8 verse 1 we read, oh, that thou wert as my brother that sucked the breasts of my mother. That the Messiah is intended there. And we see such a relationship between Christ and the church in virtue of his incarnation. There in the Song of Solomon 8, verse 1. There's this relationship. Oh, that thou wert as my brother. In Hebrews 2, verse 10, we read, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Brethren, a brother, kindred, a relation, it's his people, his brethren, my brother. That being so, Jesus, as Hermann Witsius and others have declared, is our elder brother. See the relationship? He looks on his people. My brother. Are we not thankful then for an elder brother, as we see in Hebrews 2, verse 11. My brother. Secondly, sister. My sister. Verse 50. In the Song of Solomon 4, verse 9, we read, Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. We think there of the graces in the Song of Solomon 4, verse 9. And we think of one who cares, who tenderly loves a sister. I'm not saying that brothers don't. But there in the Song of Solomon 4, verse 9, we think of a sister with a tender love. And I know you sisters have a tender love, one for another. It's a description, isn't it? The love of sisters. The tender love. My brother, my sister, one who loves me. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That's how we respond, isn't it? We feel our sin, we backslide, we grieve. But when the Lord draws near and he convicts us, we found like Peter saying, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. There's this love in the heart, there's this affection, as a sister would have an affection. So the Lord says, my brother and sister. But then thirdly, mother, my brother and sister and mother. Again, one who dearly loves and one who is very near. Think of a mother and a son relationship. It's close, isn't it? Think of the mother, the son. The son speaks to his mother and the mother speaks to the son. There's something precious, isn't there, about the mother and son. It's close. Or consider the relationship between Christ and his people. There's this closeness. My beloved is mine and I am his. He's near to the believer. And so he says, my mother. But then consider further here. Christ is found within the believer. Galatians 4 verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed in you. My mother then, he thinks of the believer. Grace, life is within, Christ is within the believer. Reverend John Brown of Haddington says, saints are called Christ's mothers, for he is formed in the heart, and by their spiritual union, to him. My brother. He came. Oh, he took flesh. He's our brother, our elder brother, and we are his brethren. Sister, we have a love for him. Mother, he's within our hearts, and we have an affection for him. Oh, as we think of those titles, oh, to love Christ more, oh, to be closer to Christ. We are in union with him, but oh, to know more of Christ in the soul and to have a greater affection that he would say more often of us, my sister, my mother, and my brother. Well, let's move on and consider secondly this morning, his spiritual relatives owned publicly. His spiritual relatives owned publicly. Verse 49, and he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. Now consider, so many had gathered. And in that crowd there were those who had Christ in their hearts, were his true people. And he identifies them. He owns them. Yes, Mary and his brethren had come, and he wasn't being rude to them. but he looks on others as well. His spiritual relatives, behold my mother and my brethren. Yes, Mary was in the family. She was a saved sinner. But our Lord's looking on others and calling them his family as well. All who were saved. And he publicly owns them. A great crowd was there. He publicly owns those that truly loved him. Behold my mother and my brethren. He looked on, they're mine. He looks around heaven at this moment. Here's my family. And he looks down on this earth and he sees his family. And he sees his family here. Does he see you in the family? Mine. Dear brothers and sisters, we belong to the Master. Oh, to remember it. He identifies us, and on that great day he will publicly own us before the whole world. The adoption to come as well, which we read of in Romans. He owns us. Remember who you belong to as you live in this world. We're not our own. At this point, consider we were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The precious blood of Jesus. What a price it was. In 1 Peter 1 verse 18 we read, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Christ. What a cost it was. He, the perfect one, went all the way to the cross. He suffered throughout his life, but then the climax of his sufferings were at Calvary, and he shed his precious blood that he would purchase us, that he would buy us. Oh, what a cost it was that we would be purchased, brought into the family, and owned by him. He owns us. We don't belong to ourselves. Oh, to live this week remembering we don't belong to this world. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Christ. That ought to have an effect on what we say and do, what we watch and don't watch, where we go and we don't go. Because we're not our own, are we? We're bought with a price. Oh, consider the precious blood of Christ is over you. Are we not thankful for that? As we consider what is happening to our nation, what is happening to this world, oh, are we not thankful that the precious blood of Jesus is over us? Let's walk worthy of that. Jonah let the name of the Lord down, as we saw last week, and so can we. It's easy to slip, isn't it? You know, in the cold winter, you can be on a walk out in the countryside and there's some black ice and you suddenly slip, and it's so quick, isn't it? You know, we can easily slip so quick. We can say the wrong thing, think the wrong thing, watch the wrong thing, so on and so forth. We can let the name of Christ down. Not one of us desire to fail the Lord, do we? But we do. Oh, to walk worthy, remembering that we belong to him. The wife desires to do her best for the husband, and the husband desires to do his best for the wife, because they belong to each other. They wouldn't want to let each other down. They wouldn't want to do immoral things with other people, would they? Hide from things from other people? No, because they belong to one another. Oh, we belong to Christ. We're in union with Christ. We don't want to let him down, do we? Oh, to walk worthy. We belong to him. Colossians 1 verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Walk worthy. A walk that is worthy of the precious blood of Jesus. A walk that is worthy of him, the one we are in union with. let this country know. Not that there are just certain ones who go to church, but there is a people who belong to Jesus. And we need to let that be known by the way we walk and we talk, seeking to be holy and heavenly, having a special love for others in the family, having respect for his servants who seek faithfully and humbly to guide them. I hear of certain things happening, even in this area, that are not worthy of the King. Oh, let us walk worthy of the King, that the world would know that we belong to him. Not to live for ourselves, but to live for the Master. He owns us. At the feet of the Master we need to be every day. And what a blessing when we're there, isn't it? You know how it is. Sometimes the Lord humbles and convicts, and he drives us to the floor so that we might say sorry, but then look up. Because that's where it's good for us to be, isn't it? At the feet of the Master, he owns us. Do not we desire the best we can give to him? The very best. Children, you seek to do your best at school. For the teacher, how much more? We ought to seek to do our best for the greatest teacher. We who are pupils, disciples, followers of Christ. Oh, he owns us. And he will make us known. Behold, my mother and my brethren. He owns us, and he will publicly own us. Behold, he speaks of us in heaven. He came into this world for us. He lived for us. He died for us. He rose again for us. He ascended up into heaven for us. And he appeareth in heaven for us now. And he speaks of us in the court of heaven. I believe it was Anthony Burgess, the Puritan, said, we have a friend in the court of heaven. And we do. And he's owning us there all the time. Others know in heaven those that love him here upon earth. He owns them publicly, and he will own us publicly here. And do not we want to be owned publicly? We don't want to hide, do we? We want people to know that we belong to Jesus, don't we? Oh, that we'd be brought to situations where we have to stand up for Jesus, so in turn he publicly owns us. Behold, my mother and my brethren. There were those in the crowd, some of them may have been shy. But oh, what a comfort Jesus was speaking of them. What a comfort that is. Behold, my mother and my brethren. He owns them. They have faith, as we've seen in verse 50. They commune with me and I dine with them. Well, he owns us now, and are we not thankful for that? Well, he will own us on that great day before the whole world. The whole world will know that I was a wretched sinner. But then the whole world will know I had a glorious Saviour. And he will own me. And he will own all his people. What a blessing to be owned by Jesus. What a privilege to be owned by Jesus, to be a Christian. In the workplace, the school, the college, this world. What a privilege that Jesus says, behold my mother and my brethren. Well, we must draw to a close now. Thirdly, his spiritual relatives loved dearly. Now, he loved Mary. Our Lord kept the law perfectly, and therefore he loved Mary with a perfect love. And she was in the family of God as well. She was a saved sinner. He also loved these others as well. We consider his love here. Behold my mother and my brethren. You think of the son's love to the mother. Think of the love of Christ towards his family. We think here of the love here he has. It included love to Mary in a special way, but love to these all who loved him, who had faith within. He looks on his people with such love in his heart. And we can face tomorrow because of that. Because we are loved by Christ. Such great love, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What love did I have at Calvary to suffer such agony and pain. What love! And he loved us unto the end when he was facing the intensity of the wrath of God. And he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His love for us did not alter, for he loved them unto the end. John 13. He loved us the moment after death. When his soul was in heaven, he was still loving us. He loved us again at his resurrection, also ascension, and he loves us now. What a blessing. We have friend in the court of heaven who is our elder brother and loves us with such a great love. He drew near to us in the time of love. And what love he has towards us at this very moment, so great, so real. Are we not thankful that his eyes on us, and in his eyes such great love, such a special love? Yes, the Lord has a love for all in a general way, but oh, he has a special love for his people. Behold, they're mine. I so love them, they're my family. Such a tender love, such a caring love. His love in his eyes, listen to J.C. Ryle, commenting on these words here. Yet here we see that all his believing people are counted as his relatives. He loves them, feels for them, cares for them as members of his family. He loves them. He feels for them. Their hardships, those that are gathered to him, their struggles, and so do we. What a season this is. We face struggles, we have our hardships, but oh, he so loves us, he so feels for us, he has such a pity. Hebrews 4 verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And as the old Westminster divines wrote, he has a fellow feeling of our infirmities. Because he's our elder brother. We're in the family. He sympathizes. He has such a love. He has such a heart. He has such a care for us. What a comfort that Jesus looks on me and you as those in his family. He will look out to you. He will care for you. He will see you through this season of affliction. And he will see you safe home. And then you'll be in heaven, in his immediate presence. And you'll be rejoicing with others in the family. Amen. We turn to our final praise, Psalm 72. Psalm 72, verses 17 through to verse 19. His name forever shall endure. Last like the sun it shall, men shall be blessed in him and blessed, all nations shall him call. Now blessed be the Lord our God, the God of Israel, for he alone doth wondrous works in glory that excel. Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19.